Welcome to the Sweetest and Toughest Job Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel, mama to three, and I'm talking with subject matter experts and other parents about all the sweet moments, but also deep diving into the tough topics surrounding pregnancy, postpartum, and parenting. Thank you so much for being here as we explore the sweetest and toughest job. Hey friends, welcome back to the show. Today I'm sharing my conversation with Nicole Miller. Nicole is a working mom. She's the founder of The Life I Crave, which is a health and mindset coaching business, and she's helping women heal their relationship with food and their body. I am so passionate about this topic because as moms, I really feel like we don't have enough body image acceptance. And it can be a very difficult road to navigate as your body changes during pregnancy, postpartum, and beyond. We have this societal pressure to bounce back after having a baby, and that can be extremely, extremely hard. Today, I'm talking with Nicole about recognizing those pressures and trying to learn to break free from feeling inadequate. Choosing self-compassion and love over self-criticism to start healing body image. We talk about talking to your kids about body image, because as parents, we all know that they're watching us all the time. So this can be a really important component of self-acceptance. Nicole passionately believes that life is too short to be lived obsessing and feeling guilt over food and hating your body. She believes we must heal the beliefs that tell us we are not enough and that our body defines our worth. She shares a little bit of her journey on how she overcame some of these same issues. I really hope you enjoy this conversation, especially during this holiday season where image and acceptance and food can be a really difficult thing to tackle. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm great. I'm excited to chat with you. I'll just let you tell everybody about yourself and your background, your family.
Okay, awesome. Well, as you said, I'm Nicole. I am a coach. I work with women around issues with body image and relationship with food. I have three daughters, so one of my own and two stepdaughters, ages, gosh, how old are they? 7, 13, and 17. So we have kind of a wide range.
Yes.
Definitely busy, busy life. But, you know, as far as coaching and kind of what led me to that, I am someone who had my own history with just all the body image issues. I went through a period of time in my life where I had to get clean and sober and really a rocky road. And I had a lot of changes that happened after that. And so I went through this process of, you know, feeling like I needed to lose weight, needed to get back to this place. And I thought it was all in the name of health. And then I realized that, you know, I had spent 10 years constantly feeling like I needed to lose weight. And mm-hmm. one day I just kind of asked myself, I was like, am I going to do this forever? Like, at what point is it good enough? And it was always this, you know, arbitrary number, just whatever number I had in my head that was like the promised land. And when I get to this point, I'll be good enough. And that's what it came down to. And I realized that it was never about that number. It was about my ability to know that I was enough and to see past all that. And so once I was able to do that work, I mean, it was completely transformative. It transformed, you know, my relationship with food, with exercise, with all these things. And then I started really seeing that this is such a problem for so many women. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I've spent a lot of time, I work as a counselor as well, and I'm really interested in how people think and helping people kind of change these thought patterns. And I realized that there's so many parallels with this stuff and, you know, in all sorts of other areas.
Absolutely. This topic, I think, is such an important one and one that's kind of difficult, I think, for people to talk about or think about even. And, you know, since the podcast is kind of focused on pregnancy, not kind of, it is focused on pregnancy, postpartum, and, you know, the parenting world, I talk a lot about just the changes that happen, you know,
when you're trying to conceive, when you do conceive, and then obviously during pregnancy, childbirth, beyond. I mean, your body goes through a lot. And for a lot of people, it's forever changed, really. I mean, you don't go back to your 20-year-old self body ever again. And that's okay. But I think it's such a difficult journey and a difficult thing for women to kind of navigate. So I just wonder if we can kind of talk about some of those challenges and kind of your philosophy on just how women can navigate all of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest challenge in all of that is that our society and our culture has this expectation that we should be able to just bounce back, that, you know, that there's all of this pressure really from the moment you conceive to, you know, all the way through pregnancy. And then as soon as you have the baby, it's like, get your pre-baby body back. And for one, that's not even realistic. Like, you're, like you said, your body has undergone changes. And in some ways, it's never going to be the same. But just that constant pressure that you have to lose the baby weight, you get back in the gym, you have to do all of these things. And so coming up against that, because it's so ingrained, I think that for a lot of women, it just seems like, well, yeah, that's the thing you do. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm supposed to focus on. And the reality is that just brings all sorts of anxiety. Like, here you are trying to, you know, keep this small human alive and do all the things, right?
Yes.
And, you know, worry about losing the weight and getting that body back. And it, so it's just, it's so, disheartening to see that. And so I think recognizing that for what it is. So a lot of the work that I do is just recognizing that all of this pressure that we face comes from diet culture. It comes from societal expectations, but it doesn't have to be that way. Like, when we can take a step back and recognize that that is not how we have to live, that we don't have to rise up and meet those expectations, and that, you know, no one body type is better than the other. And I think that that's where the transformation can occur, because it's so freeing to recognize that all these things that we're comparing ourselves to, because that's really what it comes down to, right? We get on the internet, and we see, you know, all these celebrities or whatever, whoever it is you're looking at. And we go, gosh, that's what they look like. And so that's what I am supposed to look like. And I don't. So there must be something wrong with me.
And that comparison game that you just spoke about is so hard. And it's hard when you become a parent, because, you know, you're so much pressure on yourself. Like, how are you parenting? How are you figuring all this out? So there's that. But I think a huge part of the comparison game too is, like, you know, looking at your friend that maybe has a different body type, or they just, you know, it's just genetics that they, you know, go back right back into their size 4 or size 6 jeans, while you're sitting there like so frustrated that, you know, you're, it's harder to lose the body weight, harder to get back to the body weight that you were before. And that can be just so difficult, I think, for women to navigate.
Yeah, totally. You know, and because we're not ever told that the reason all bodies look different is not something that we can control, right? Genetics and just all these different things that play into that. And we think that we have a lot of control over it. Like, we're taught that, you know, if you just control what you eat and exercise all the time and do all these things, that you can somehow have control over that. And it's so false. It is so false. And, you know, recognizing that through all of this, and sometimes it sounds like it's definitely easier said than done, but trying to view your body from this place of gratitude and recognizing the things that it does and the ways that it serves you, as opposed to just what it looks like. Because at the core of this is this belief as women that our worth is based in what we look like, or what size our pants are, or the weight or the number on the scale, and all of these things. So it's really challenging that belief system and recognizing that we are so much more than that. And that can be hard, again, because we have the culture that is just drilling this into us. And so it takes kind of that daily, you know, intentional focus of rewriting that story.
So I'm curious, like, and I know you have a personal journey that you are on too, so maybe this can help in your explanation, but what are some kind of attainable ways that women can kind of get to a place where they have more self-acceptance or approach, you know, the way that they're looking at themselves in the mirror and not being so critical and not, and maybe just like, cause it's hard. It's easy for us to talk about like, oh, you should be more positive and you're beautiful and you're, you know, your woman body that you know, you're in is wonderful, but it's a lot harder when you're looking at the mirror and you're not feeling all those things. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder if you have like some straightforward tips for anyone listening that's not feeling
totally.
So good.
Totally. So the biggest thing is it starts with awareness. Like we have to become aware of the thoughts that we're thinking about ourselves and the way that we're speaking to ourselves. Because that's where all of this, like we can't change anything unless we can change that. And I think most of us don't even realize like that critical, that inner mean girl, you don't even realize it's there. And so the first thing is really just tuning in and recognizing, okay, you know, I'm feeling bad about myself today. I'm, you know, not feeling good in my body. Where is that coming from? What is it that I'm saying to myself right now? And one, is it true, right? Because it's a belief. And so when I look in the mirror and I have the thought, gosh, you're fat and gross and, you know, whatever that sounds like for you, recognizing that that is just a thought and then asking, is that true? Is that really the truth? It might feel like the truth and that, you know, that is valid, but is it really the truth? And being willing to challenge that and, you know, say, no, you know, that's not the truth. What is true right now? And it's not even about getting to a place of, I love my body. It's awesome. I'm beautiful
sure.
all day long.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
I think that's, you know, there's some people that would say you just have to be positive all the time, but it's really about getting to that place of just gratitude and respect and recognizing that I may not always feel good about my body and maybe I don't always like how it looks, but I can respect and appreciate the things that it does for me. And recognize that this is the body that I have. Mm-hmm. And so kind of making peace with it in that way. Because I think if we take the pressure off to have to be positive all the time and say that we like it, then we can start to maybe move just even to more of a place of that neutrality. Just,
yes.
This is my body. Like,
yes.
For better or for worse, this is it. This is what I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I love that. It's the frankness of it, right? Like this is who I am. And I can't, you know, I can't dramatically change it. Like you can make lifestyle changes and wellness and health changes for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that's kind of what we're speaking about too. It's just like it can be so hard sometimes when you know you're given what you're given, and that can be frustrating, especially like after having a baby when you're going through all these changes that we kind of touched on. And I remember reading something or somebody telling me, you know, after you have a baby, I think it was the hospital bag packing. They're like, make sure you bring your maternity clothes. Like you will not be walking out of the hospital in you know, your normal clothes from before. And I was like, oh, yeah. Really? That doesn't just like, maybe it doesn't come out. And you're just not like back to normal.
Right.
I mean, it's such a naive thing, but sometimes you just don't think about the process afterwards to getting back to a place where you're feeling good about yourself. And that can take time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, through that whole process, really it's about finding that more compassionate voice, you know, where you can just meet yourself with recognizing, wow, I just birthed a human. My body has undergone a lot of changes. It's undergone a lot of trauma, right? The childbirth process and whatever way the child comes out is traumatic for your body. And so it's reasonable to expect that would take some time for your body to heal and to figure out what it's doing. And, you know, so finding compassion for that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is I think sometimes it's helpful to think of, you know, what would you say if it was someone else that you know? Because I think sometimes when we're thinking about just ourselves, it's hard to imagine, right? Because we have a belief that, well, do I even deserve that compassion? If I'm not hard on myself, what? Am I just going to sit here and suck forever? Right.
Or who's going to be hard on me if I'm not, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, imagine it's someone that you really care about. And what would you say to that person? And then asking yourself the question, you know, why would I be any different?
Mm-hmm.
Why would it be any different?
I love that outlook. And as we're talking, it just makes me think about, you know, as a parent, whether you have girls or boys or, you know, either sex, I feel like the way that you look at yourself, your kids are paying attention, you know? And so that's something that I've definitely personally caught myself with, you know, I've noticed to be careful not to say like, oh, this looks terrible on me or, you know, or, oh gosh, I have this, you know, fat roll hanging over my pants today or whatever, because your kids, especially at a young age, are for sure listening to everything that you say. And I think that's a really important piece of, you know, trying to get to that self-acceptance and positive place where you can at least be setting like a great positive example for your kids too.
Yeah, 100%. And because they do, and they pick up on so many things in so many different places. I'm realizing, you know, my daughter's 7 and I have heard her start to make comments and recognize differences in bodies. And, you know, she said some things that have been horrifying. Like, wow, where did that come from?
They're very blunt. Kids are very blunt.
They're so blunt. Yes. You know, so recognizing that as they get older and get more access to the world and to all these different inputs, that, you know, that's hard enough. So recognizing the part that you can do at home is, you know, reflecting what you would want them to be able to say to themselves. And so anytime you have that critical thought or want to say that critical thing, you think, you know, would I want my son or daughter to say this about themselves, or would I want them to say it to someone else?
Mm-hmm. That's a great point too.
Oh, there was one other thing. The question you had asked before about things to kind of relieve some of that pressure. The other thing I think is super important is recognizing, like, if you're on social media and the different places where you're having input, that can make such a difference, is going through. And if you are following pages or people that are really shoving, you know, weight loss and, you know, shoving this stuff down your throat, for lack of a better way of putting it, like allowing yourself to start unfollowing. Stuff.
You were reading my mind, because that was the question I was starting to ask. I literally, because, you know, that's part of, we were talking earlier about, you know, comparisons and the culture that we live in and how difficult that can be. And of course, social media is like first in to mind when you think about comparisons. And that can be a really tough place in terms of body image and comparing yourself and where you're at to other people. And I feel like there's more awareness coming about of like, it's okay to look different, or it's okay to have grace with yourself, you know, as you're on a journey. But there's also a lot of like toxic stuff out there too. And I love that you said it's okay to unfollow or take a break, you know, if you need to just take a break.
Well, and it's so interesting, because I, you know, we tell ourselves, oh, I'm following these people and these accounts for motivation, right? Mm-hmm. For motivation to, you know, do whatever it is I think I need to be doing to be good enough. But the reality is we just get on there and we go, well, gosh, I thought I was doing pretty good, but I don't look like her. Right. And I'm not there. So, you know, I must not be enough. And again, it just reinforces that narrative. So if we can start taking responsibility for the input and the stuff that we're consuming, it really does make all the difference.
I want to just ask, as a mom, I know you have, I'm just curious, because you have a 7-year-old and then some teenagers. Mm-hmm. So how do you talk to them about positive body image? We kind of talked about being careful of what you say about yourself, but I'm curious how you talk to them.
So it's with the older ones, it's been tough because they're my stepdaughters.
Okay.
And so, you know, we have the split family, and it's been, so with them, you know, the conversations haven't been as much. I try and really just role model it in how I present. But, you know, the middle one, at one point she had this fixation on like body size and just, you know, kept calling people fat and all of this stuff. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what it's sounding like with her, you know, her mom at home. And so in those instances, just coming back to, you know, everybody has different bodies, and we don't judge people based on that. We don't, you know, make up our mind that there is something wrong with them. That is just the body that they have. With my younger one, so similar conversations, but then also asking her things that she likes about her body. You know, what does your body do for you that you like, and trying to engage her in that conversation? Cause even her, I've already, you know, like I said, I've heard her make comments about, you know, other kids and their sizes. And so having that conversation, like, we don't not be friends with people because you don't like the size of their body. Mm-hmm. You know, we like people for who they are. And then, and also trying to monitor some of the stuff she's consuming. Cause you know, all these different
shows. That's a great point.
And, oh my gosh, it's so hard. We had to take YouTube completely away. Mm-hmm. I was just like, we're done with this.
That could be a dark hole for kids.
Very dark hole. But yeah, just asking her and getting her talking about things that she likes and, you know, things that her body does. And she's been pretty receptive to that so far. And sometimes she's just, I don't want to talk about it, Mom.
Oh, I know. My daughter's going to be 6 in December. And I'm like, hold on. I thought I had years before you were a teenager. what is with the rolling of the eyes?
Oh my gosh. The sass is like out of control sometimes. The sass.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I know you touched on it just really briefly, but tell us how you're helping other moms and how people can like find you and connect with you and kind of what you're up to.
Yeah, totally. So I have a coaching program that I take women through. It's a group coaching program where we really dive into all of this. We dive into getting a huge awareness around diet culture and how that's shaped the beliefs that we have about our bodies and ourselves and what we're supposed to be doing. And it's really about unpacking and unlearning that stuff so we can shape new beliefs and new ways to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that way it's coming from that place of self-acceptance and self-love and learning how to, you know, cut the crap when it comes to food and obsessing over food and obsessing over our bodies. You know, my biggest thing is I believe that women, all women, deserve to live a life where they're not in fear of food and hating their body. Mm-hmm. Like, life is too short to live that way. So that's kind of my big thing, is that coaching program. And then I'm actually going to be soon releasing a smaller, course that's going to be kind of a bite size of that. So I'm really excited about that. I'm most active over on Instagram and in my Facebook group. So, Instagram, I'm The Life I Crave, and, the Facebook group is just, Diet Freedom and Body Acceptance.
Awesome.
So pretty simple, but yeah, I'm super active over there. So.
Perfect. Well, I'll put those links in my show notes for anyone to grab and visit. And thank you so much for talking about this topic. Yeah. I feel like, as I said in the beginning, it's a very important one that we just kind of skip over. And I talk about this in the podcast a lot too. I think as moms, sometimes we think about ourselves last, you know, and you're a better parent and a better mother when you're feeling good about yourself and, you know, in a good place. And so often, you know, we're running around in our lives, like trying to keep little people alive. It's a really, you know,
and they don't make it easy.
Good job. They don't make it easy. And, you know, you're carting them here and there and, you know, it can be crazy. So I think sometimes what's missed is us taking care of ourselves.
Yeah. 100%.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Head over to sweetestandtoughestjob.com. You'll find additional episodes there, as well as information from today's episode, resources, and links. We'd love to connect with you on social media at sweetestandtoughestjob on either Instagram or Facebook. And a special thank you to Makai Pace for all the original music used.